Hey, I'm Dr. Michael Hunter, forensic pathologist from Autopsy, Reels Channel's medical mystery series on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Be sure to download the Podcast One app and subscribe. Then go to Reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, to find more programs like this one on Reels Channel.
A legend in music is gone tonight. Donna Summer, who was the voice and face of the era of disco.
Donna Summer could sing.
She was an ordinary girl with big dreams who made them happen.
Her talent changed the landscape of music with songs like Love to Love You, Baby, and I Feel Love.
I Feel Love changed everything. David Bowie said, "Who is that singing? What is those sounds?"
It was effortless. It just flowed out of her.
She was nicknamed the Queen of Disco and the First Lady of Love. But despite her later rebirth as a clean-living, born-again Christian, Donna Summer had her share of the sex, drugs, and party lifestyle.
It's a crazy, crazy business.
There's drug-taking, there's partying, there's late nights. She went wild.
After nearly 40 years as a world-famous music diva, on May 17th, 2012, Donna Summer died at her home in Naples, Florida.
According to reports, Donna Summer was diagnosed with lung cancer, the cancer most commonly associated with smoking. But her family claimed that Donna was not a smoker. And there is a surprising theory about the origins of her cancer. Adding to the mystery, soon after her diagnosis, she disappeared from public view. So I need to investigate the true cause of Donna's illness and untimely death, and just why her final months were shrouded in such secrecy.
World-renowned medical examiner and forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter has performed around 5,000 autopsies, collaborating closely with law enforcement and other forensic specialists. His pivotal role in investigating suspicious cases has revealed the truth behind unexplained deaths for over 20 years.
I have various reports and firsthand accounts which will help me investigate how this seemingly healthy 63-year-old suddenly found herself battling lung cancer, as well as looking into what potentially caused the cancer. I'm also hoping to uncover the mystery of her final months.
March 2011, Los Angeles, 14 months before Donna's death. Donna and her nephew, rapper Robert Omega Red Grant, are working together on a new track. It's been 5 years since Donna was in the recording studio for her last album, Crayons.
Josiah Howard, Donna Summer's biographer.
During Donna's final years, she had decided to cut back and spend her time with her family.
She's often accompanied to the studio by her husband of over 30 years, Bruce Sudano. But today, Donna jumps at the opportunity to work with nephew Robert, to whom she's also close.
Robert Omega Red Grant, nephew.
When we were just joking and she came up to me, she's like, "Oh, you think you're a big rap star now? You know, you still be my little pumpkin head." She's always wanted to, like, keep me in check, you know? Her energy and her spirit was always high. She was always in good spirits.
But Donna is struggling.
I think she had a cough that she couldn't get rid of.
Robert soon notices Donna is getting tired.
I definitely remember her voice to be stronger. When we were recording the record, there was moments where she would take tea breaks and stuff like that. I did sense a little weakness in her voice.
For a superstar like Donna, whose whole career is built around her voice, this is troubling. Could it be that years of singing had taken their toll on her vocal cords? Or could her weak voice and lethargy be an early sign of lung cancer? Or is something else going on in her body? I need to investigate further what had brought her to this stage in her life.
LaDonna Adrian Gaines was born in Boston, Massachusetts on December 31st, 1948. Her father, Andrew Gaines, was a butcher, and her mother, Mary, a school teacher.
Donna's parents were very religious, hardworking. They had seven children. six girls and one boy. Donna's father worked three jobs. There wasn't a lot of money, but those seven kids knew that they were really loved.
Joe Bean Esposito, friend and singer-songwriter.
She was raised in a very tight-knit family. They were very religious, and in a good way.
That's all they were about, church and family. And, you know, they were serious, and they had rules.
But despite the love, Donna's home life wasn't all roses.
Donna's father, Andrew, was extremely strict. The girls could not wear nail polish, makeup, or any kind of revealing clothing. He objected to them singing pop songs of the day if he thought they were suggestive.
Donna learned to sing in the church choir from the age of 10.
She was given a solo, and she says that she had an epiphany. God spoke to her and told her, "You're going to be famous one day. You have a special talent."
I started singing, and all of a sudden I opened my mouth, and this voice just came catapulting out of my body.
Donna dropped out of high school before graduating and moved to New York. At 19, she auditioned for a part in the musical Hair, and soon moved to Germany with a touring production after getting her parents' reluctant approval. Donna fell in love with Germany and its people. She married fellow cast member Helmut Sommer and had a daughter, Mimi, but soon divorced and fell in love with Peter Muldorfer, who became her boyfriend for the next 3 years. It was love at first sight.
We were standing in front of each other, you know. We looked at each other and we didn't say a word, but it was the first really long contact we had.
And it was while in Germany working as a session singer that Donna was spotted by hit music producers Giorgio Moroder and Pete Bellotti, who immediately recognized the power of her voice.
She was a brilliant singer. They started to plan something. They wanted to make the star.
In February 1974, the trio released Donna's debut album, Lady of the Night. The following year, Donna came up with her song, Love to Love You, Baby. It was quickly picked up by Casablanca Records, back home in the U.S., and soon became a smash hit, leading Donna to become a breakout star of the disco era. A 5-time Grammy Award winner, Donna was the first artist to have 3 consecutive double albums reach number 1 on the U.S. Billboard charts. She sold an estimated 140 million records worldwide, making her one of the world's best-selling artists of all time.
We proudly welcome to the Hollywood Walk of Fame, Miss Donna Summer.
In 1992, Donna's superstardom was recognized with her very own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
It's definitely an achievement, and it's quite a blessing, and I thank God that people saw enough in me to want to give me a star. I thank God for that.
I can see that Donna had a couple of scars on her face, and I need to find out how she got these and what impact they had on her long term. Could they provide any clues to her death?
When Donna was 6 years old, her dad was puttering around fixing things, and she cut a 3-inch gash on her right cheek. She started to bleed profusely. Dad picked her up and brought her to the hospital. They taped it together, but it did more than mark her cheek. It marked her psyche. From that moment on, she felt ugly. She stayed in the house. She didn't go to school. And it just really destroyed her. Her siblings used to call her names, Peanut Head. They used to call her Duck Lips. And this already made her self-conscious. Then, with the scar on the cheek, it was totally over the top. She said, "Whenever I looked in the mirror, I saw that scar."
Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, psychologist.
When you're very little, your understanding of what things are going to be like when you grow older is very much related to what it's like in the here and now. People are teasing me about it in the here and now, so this is going to last forever. So what we have is a young girl that feels less than in terms of how she looks.
It seems that the scar on Donna's face led her to want to hide away from the world. Although her injury wasn't directly responsible for her death, this event could provide clues to how she may have dealt with trauma later in life. There are also indications this was the start of a lifelong struggle with her body image. And I can see from firsthand accounts that Donna had some cosmetic enhancements.
After spending 6 years in Germany, Donna soon found herself on the cusp of stardom back home.
After Love to Love You Baby comes out, it's a smash hit. It goes to number 2 on the pop charts. Pop. Of course, it's number 1 in the discos. She is now the first lady of love.
But Donna quickly discovered the extreme pressures of being in the public eye and the intense scrutiny was something for which she was unprepared.
She wanted to sing and she wanted to be on stage. She worked hard on that. But having this image, you know, this sex image, and this was a little bit strange for her.
They take one look at her and they say, no, this isn't going to work. We need you to be this first lady of love. You're a star and you have to look the part. So when Donna returns to the States, she makes a decision to make herself look better. It does involve surgical procedures. The nose is touched. The teeth are made a little bit nicer. She wants to look like she thinks people want her to look. So she's in compliance. She signed on to be a superstar. The woman having an orgasm on record has long flowing hair, is in a sequin dress, wears false eyelashes, has long nails. We're going to do all that for you. You just have to surrender.
This is a girl who's been told all her life to not be the most visible one. She went through the trauma of the cut on her face. She never felt beautiful. So kind of being out there, for people to consume and see and comment on was not in her comfort zone yet. The only way she's going to gain success, the only way she's going to be a star is if she puts herself in this very vulnerable position.
She was shy. Donna was not the one who was acting like a sex queen or something like that. It was not her style. It was not her.
Those close to her claim that one of Donna's enhancements was breast augmentation.
She wanted to change her body a little bit over for the stage, you know, because she lost a little bit on shape, you know. But this is normal, you know.
There are 3 general types of breast implant devices, defined by their filler material. There's saline solution, silicone gel, and composite filler. She likely had silicone implants, which were popular at the time. Although there are reports that link breast implants and cancer, the findings are inconclusive. However, the implants could have contributed to her possibly not realizing the seriousness of the cancer symptoms she was suffering. She might have dismissed symptoms such as discomfort in her chest as being connected to her implants, which could have led to the delay in her diagnosis. Over the years, Donna made several other attempts to improve her public image, which could have significantly impacted her health. So, did Donna's quest for success and acceptance lead her down a path of destruction and eventual early death?
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it could be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Singer Donna Summer has died. 5-time Grammy winner and Queen of Disco is best known for her 70s hits Last Dance, Hot Stuff, and Bad Girls. Summer was 63 years old.
On May 17th, 2012, Donna Summer died at her home in Naples, Florida. Her death came as a shock to many, as few people even knew she was ill. Now, leading forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is investigating her case.
So far, I've discovered that Donna Summer had various cosmetic enhancements, including breast implants. Also in the year before her death, she was struggling with her voice and appeared more tired than usual. I can see This led her to seek out a specialist.
August 2011, 10 months before her death, Donna and her husband, Bruce Sedano, sit down to receive test results from Donna's doctor. Bruce and Donna had met 34 years earlier as label mates at Casablanca Records, while Bruce was part of the band Brooklyn Dreams.
Bruce and Donna hit it off very well. They were attracted to each other right from the beginning.
Bruce has been a constant by Donna's side ever since.
Bruce protected her. They were best friends.
The doctor tells the couple that Donna has lung cancer.
Lung cancer is the second most common cancer in men and women after skin cancer. Cancer is ultimately the result of cells that multiply uncontrollably. And these abnormal cells do not develop into healthy lung tissues. They divide rapidly and form tumors. Tumors are able to invade the surrounding tissue and spread into nearby organs, where they can cause serious and eventually fatal damage.
For Donna and Bruce, the news is a complete shock.
The doctor told her straight up, this is the type of cancer you have. I think you have like 14 months or 13 months to live. To me, she was always pretty healthy. You know, it was such a shock to know that she had cancer.
When Donna Summer was diagnosed with lung cancer, the first question her doctor would have asked is whether or not she was a smoker.
During the 1970s, smoking was part of the costume. Everybody who was young and wanted to be cool. You had a cigarette, you had your bell bottoms on, you had your afro. That was the look.
I've seen videos or pictures of where she would have a cigarette.
85% of lung cancer is caused by tobacco smoking. The cancer occurs when tumors form in lung tissue, most commonly in the cells that line the air passages. The link between smoking and lung cancer is well established. But it is also true that quitting by age 50 approximately cuts the chances of dying from lung cancer in half.
In the very beginning, she used to smoke cigarettes a little bit, but not much, and then she stopped.
Once she was, yes, I remember, trying on a joint, and that was one and the last time. Never. This was not her thing at all.
For the last, I'd say, you know, 30, 35 years, she didn't smoke at all.
I don't even know if she was anti-smoking, but I just know she never, I never seen her smoke at all. And her voice is super powerful, so I'm like, how can you smoke and have a powerful voice like that?
While Donna did smoke in the early days of her career, she had given up many, many years earlier. However, that doesn't rule out the likelihood that while performing and partying, she was constantly surrounded by smoke.
During the 1970s, Donna was touring and performing, and she often found herself in smoke-filled nightclubs, bars, performance spaces.
Those exposed to substantial secondhand smoke have a 20 to 30% greater chance of developing lung cancer. Therefore, I can't rule out secondary smoke as another possible cause of Donna's lung cancer. I can see that there are a number of other potential triggers for Donna's cancer, not least the fact that later in life, she battled with her weight. Donna was 5'7". In the year before her death, she weighed 210 pounds, which gives her a BMI of 33, and this is clinically obese. The buildup of fat in the body can lead to heart disease and diabetes, but it can also be a leading cause of cancer.
In the early days of her career, Donna's record company worked hard on selling Donna as the sex goddess.
Love to Love You, Baby, totally changed her image. They said, that is not going to sell here. Now you're going to be a funky African-American sex goddess. That's what we need at the label. That's what's going to sell us records. Donna's desire to be a success meant that she was willing to make the necessary sacrifices. If she had to undereat, if she had to go to the gym, Whatever she had to do, she was going to do because she wanted to be a success in show business.
After nearly 40 years in the music industry, disco queen Donna Summer's career had taken a back seat.
During her later years, Donna does put on weight. But she always loved to cook, she loved to eat, and that was something that she denied herself to be a star. Now the parent of three children, happily married woman, living in Florida, she ate what she wanted. She went back to what she loved when she was at home, fried chicken, meatloaf, whatever in her past gave her comfort.
According to research from the American Cancer Society, excess body weight is thought to be responsible for about 1 in 10 of all cancers in the United States. Excess body weight can affect cancer risk through a number of mechanisms, including affecting the immune system function and inflammation.
Donna's focus in her later years shifted away from her career and onto her family life, with her husband and daughters Mimi, Brooklyn, and Amanda.
We can see the pictures. Donna didn't care that much. She was at a place where she was comfortable with herself. She did not like the criticisms, which are really unfair, but she wasn't going to diet so that she wouldn't be criticized about her weight. When Donna no longer had to worry about being super slim and sexy, she was finally able to enjoy the food she had denied herself for so many years. She just was happy. She was happy to be living once again like a real person.
It's clear that Donna's more relaxed attitude to her body image and the easing off of pressures from being in the public eye meant that Donna did overeat to the point of clinical obesity. Although obesity is associated with a number of cancers, that relationship is not thought to be in play with lung cancer. Donna's whole life was built on hiding behind a mask, and I've found evidence that hiding her true self from the world also led to a hidden dependency, one that could have impacted on her early death.
Season 2 of the 22 Hours in American Nightmare podcast series is coming soon with a new story, a new mystery.
He said, "Your mother was murdered." I physically couldn't hold the phone. I remember it falling out of my hands and dropping to the ground.
The vicious murder of Sherry Crandall inside the Maryland hospital where she worked has mystified me, the police, and her family for the past two decades. I'm Washington, D.C. crime reporter Paul Wagner. Join me as I investigate this unsolved murder with an unforgettable twist.
Ms. Crandall predicted that something violent may end up happening.
Don't miss the new season of American Nightmare, the podcast series that was named the number 2 show of the year by the Associated Press and one of Apple Podcasts' most popular new shows of 2019. Listen to the official Season 2 trailer and subscribe today on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A legend in music is gone tonight, Donna Summer. She fought a long battle with cancer, and she died today at the age of 63.
In May 2012, Donna Summer died at her home in Naples, Florida. But while her family released a statement saying Donna had died of lung cancer, no further details were announced. World-renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is trying to piece together the final hours of the disco queen's life.
So far, I have learned that Donna Summer was diagnosed with lung cancer. And although she wasn't a heavy smoker, she had been exposed to smoking nightclubs, which could have contributed to her cancer. In addition, Donna struggled with body issues and self-esteem, which resulted in several cosmetic surgery procedures and battles with her weight. The question is, once diagnosed, what were Donna's chances of survival? I can see that in the months before she died, she was wearing a neck brace. Is this a sign that her cancer had spread?
October 15th, 2011, the Mandalay Bay Hotel, Las Vegas. 7 months before Donna's death. Bruce and Donna have arrived at the Mandalay Bay for a concert in which Donna will perform as a guest of famed producer David Foster. Beforehand, they have dinner with good friend Joe Esposito.
Donna was subdued, and her collar was a little off, and she had a neck brace on. I said, "What's up with your neck?" And she said, "Well, like, I have vertigo." And it didn't kind of sit right with me, but I didn't say anything. And she just had a salad, but really wasn't eating that much. And there was another thing that tipped me off, all these green type of foods that were very antioxidant. I remember saying to Bruce, "Is something going on?" He goes, "Whatever you think is going on, just keep to yourself. That's all I could say for right now."
Later that evening, Donna gave her final ever public performance.
I remember telling my wife, "She don't look good to me. Something's up."
I think the fact that she was wearing a neck brace is a sign that the cancer had possibly spread to her vertebra. The main reason that cancer is so serious is its ability to spread in the body. Cancer cells are spread via the blood. And once in the blood, cancer cells can go to any part of the body. Many of these cancer cells die, but some may settle in a new area, start to grow, and form new tumors. This spread of cancer to a new part of the body is called metastasis. The fact that Donna was playing down her neck brace could be yet another sign of her need to maintain her public image. Donna appears to have pretty much removed herself from public view from the moment she was diagnosed with cancer. As a result, the information I have about how she was able to deal with the cancer is limited. However, I have discovered from firsthand accounts that she did, in fact, undertake a course of chemotherapy. Approximately 30% of people diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer will embark on a course of chemo in an attempt to prolong their lives, with a small percentage of these patients seeing a measurable benefit.
I believe she was having chemotherapy, but how many treatments, I really don't know. Maybe it got to a point where it became, there's nothing else we can do for you.
Chemotherapy is a way to treat cancer that uses drugs to kill cancer cells. It targets cells that grow and divide quickly, as cancer cells do. Unlike radiation or surgery, which targets specific areas, chemo works throughout the body. But it can also affect some fast-growing healthy cells, like those of the skin, hair, intestines, and bone marrow. That's what causes some of the side effects from the treatment. They can be very debilitating.
And they really kept the secret, you know. I mean, nobody really knew. Nobody knew. Even when she was going for treatments, some people would say, "Aren't you Donna Summer?" She'd say, no, I'm not. Yeah, she didn't want anybody to know.
I found something troubling in her background that could have an impact on how Donna coped with her cancer diagnosis. I can see that Donna had a history of depression.
In 1976, Donna was in a frenzy of record promotion. But the need to build and maintain the image of a sex diva disco queen was taking its toll on Donna emotionally.
Donna is profoundly unhappy. She's constantly touring, constantly working. She doesn't have her daughter Mimi with her, so she feels very isolated. Her fame has not been what she thought it would be.
Depression started in the States. Everybody wanted something from her.
She walks over to the window, opens it.
She was ready to jump because of this whole career thing.
She gets her foot caught in the blind. Right after that happens, a maid enters the room. "Miss Summer. Miss Summer." Donna stops. She snaps out of it.
She had many problems, of course, with me. And she had many problems with herself.
Donna's relationship with Peter collapsed soon after.
After her suicide attempt, I can see that Donna was referred to a specialist, which led to her being diagnosed with a serotonin deficiency in her brain. In other words, a brain disorder. Low serotonin levels have been linked to depression, and serotonin is a crucial neurotransmitter. It is believed to help regulate mood, social behavior, appetite, and sleep, among other functions.
So there was something more going on than her bad life circumstances. There was a chemical imbalance that they attempted to make right for her.
I can see that Donna was prescribed isocarboxazid, sold as Marplan, an MAO inhibitor. These are essentially very strong drugs and were the first wave of antidepressants invented. In contrast to conventional antidepressant drugs that work by raising the levels of one or two of the brain's mood-lifting chemicals, MAO inhibitors like Marplan are able to raise the levels of all three. Research into antidepressants has shown that the use of MAO inhibitors such as these can actually affect long-term survival. But this may have been the start of Donna's reliance on a cocktail of other prescription medications.
She went off of Marplan and she tried other drugs. She was doing what she thought would help her get up and out and perform.
This cocktail of medications affected her career and performances.
There's a show, she was singing Love's Unkind. Her face goes dazed. Her eyes are blank. She doesn't remember the song she's singing, and she doesn't remember the lyrics.
There have been studies that tenuously link sleeping pills and benzodiazepines to very low incidences of cancers of the airway, including lung cancer. But I can see that Donna's use of these medications was short-lived. It appears that at the end of her life, rather than turning to self-medication again, Donna relied on her faith to get her through.
She was so strong and so believed, whatever's going to be is going to be.
Donna's family also became a source of strength during her battle with cancer. Christmas, 2011, Naples, Florida, 5 months before her death. Donna is spending her last holiday season with her family.
Donna's relationship with her daughter was very close.
The holidays, Christmas, birthdays, New Year's Eve, she would really look forward to spending time with her family.
Donna was also close to her large extended family.
Oh, she always treated the family very well. She's very caring, very giving. She always wrote checks, sent it out to the families on holidays and stuff like that. So she always took care of her family.
Donna's faith and closeness to her family would have boosted her mood and likely played a role in extending her life. It would have made her final months easier to face day to day. However, I can see that she had a serious illness in the past that could have left her body and its ability to fight the cancer seriously compromised.
World-renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is scrutinizing Donna Summer's medical records and first-hand accounts to piece together the final days and hours of the Disco Queen's life.
So far, I have discovered that Donna Summer was subjected to cigarette smoking early on in life, both from her own light use and also from the smoke-filled clubs she performed in. She also battled with her weight and prescription medications. But I have discovered that many years before her death, Donna was diagnosed with a serious heart condition. Myocarditis.
On a trip to Zurich, we was driving a little Italian car, and before Switzerland, Donna got really ill. All of a sudden, she had problems breathing. She had pain, and I didn't know exactly what it was, you know. We needed help. So we went to this hospital right away, thank God we found one. It came out she had a heart muscle infection. And this is, of course, something very dangerous.
Myocarditis is a disease marked by the inflammation of the heart muscle, known as the myocardium, the muscular layer of the heart wall. The muscle is responsible for contracting and relaxing to pump blood in and out of the heart into the rest of the body. When this muscle becomes inflamed, its ability to pump blood becomes less effective. In a lot of cases, the exact cause of myocarditis is not found, but it's usually secondary to an infection, most commonly viral.
She was happy to be in the hospital because they gave her medication, you know. She could breathe again and all that.
After treatment at a specialist hospital in Germany, Donna was ordered to take complete bed rest for a month and managed to live with the condition for many years after that.
A mild case of myocarditis can go away without any lasting damage. However, the fact that Donna was hospitalized shows her case was serious. Severe cases may not be diagnosed until you have the symptoms of heart failure and may cause ongoing and irreversible damage to the heart muscle. So although Donna seemed outwardly healthy later in life and was able to perform, I can't fully discount this bout of myocarditis as having been a contributing factor in her death.
March 2012, Naples, Florida, 2 months before Donna's death. Donna bumps into an old friend at a local shopping mall, and he notices she has lost nearly 100 pounds. But Donna plays it down. A few months prior to that meeting, good friend Joe Esposito had also noticed she'd started to lose a lot of weight.
When I saw Donna at Mandalay Bay, she was pretty thin. I really don't know how many pounds she lost. I don't know, 40 pounds, 50 pounds? I'm guessing. I don't want to say anorexic. It wasn't anorexic, but it was thinner than I've ever seen it.
When she lost weight, I said, Bruce, is Donna okay? You know, because I'm just like, she lost a lot of weight. So he's like, no, she's fine.
When friends and family ask about her weight loss, Donna makes light of it.
I said, wow, you lost some weight. She goes, yeah, I've been dieting.
Losing up to 100 pounds in a short space of time is dramatic and a sign that Donna's cancer was progressing. Cancer patients often experience a loss of appetite and unintentional weight loss. This is called cancer anorexia cachexia syndrome. Approximately half of all cancer patients experience anorexia and cachexia. And at diagnosis, approximately 60% of patients with lung cancer have already experienced substantial weight loss. Rapid weight loss can also be therapy-related. Radiation and chemotherapy often cause a decrease in appetite.
Despite the advanced nature of her illness, Donna maintained a veil of secrecy to the very end with most of her friends and extended family.
She just wanted to keep it very private, and I feel like she just wanted to be around the immediate family.
I think there's something really lovely about Donna's ability to have a sense of entitlement over her life to, you know, towards the end. You know, she decides at that point that, you know what, I've been public, Donna. But now, this last stage of my life, well, this is mine and my family's. And she retreats from the public eye. She puts the mask away for good. And she lives out her final months in peace.
May 15th, 2012. Donna Summer's house, Naples, Florida, 2 days before her death. Surrounded by her family, Donna Summer is frail and weak and close to death. Husband Bruce and her three daughters, Mimi, Brooklyn, and Amanda, prepare to say goodbye.
Bruce called me about 2 days or a day and a half before Donna passed, and he said, Donna is not doing well, and it's not going to be long. I broke down. He broke down, and I said, I'm so sorry. I can't believe it. He goes, yeah. And he said, don't say anything to anybody.
In the early hours of May 17th, 2012, Donna Summer finally loses her battle with lung cancer. She is pronounced dead at 4:50 a.m.
I do want to note that we lost a great voice this week in the passing of Donna Summer.
Must have been 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. I was with my wife just sitting on my couch watching the TV. And they said, Donna Summer has passed. And we both broke down and cried.
Yeah, I mean, I was in total shock when I found out she passed away, but then also it was lung cancer.
When I heard about Donna's death, Donna was dying, I was in the car, and a friend of mine, a doctor, called me, and he told me that in the car. And I felt bad. I went home and I don't know. I couldn't believe it, but it was like that, you know.
When Donna died, her family announced that she had died from lung cancer. Before her passing, the public had no idea that Donna was even unwell. Donna Summer died of lung cancer that most people assume was caused by smoking. Donna Summer herself insisted that there was a far more dramatic explanation.
Legendary singer and disco queen Donna Summer died behind the closed doors of her home in Naples, Florida, on May 17, 2012. Her death was shrouded in secrecy, and the only information released was that she died after a short battle with lung cancer. Now, expert forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is investigating why a seemingly healthy person who barely touched a cigarette died so suddenly.
Little was known about Donna's cancer, but her family did release an intriguing piece of information after she died. It seems Donna believed that her illness was caused by the 9/11 attacks on New York City.
On September 11th, 2001, Donna was in a hotel a few blocks away from the World Trade Center. That day, she believed that she was marked by the debris, the smoke and ash that so many people perished from. She believed that she inhaled that, and she believed that it was not a good thing. From that point on, she remains unsettled about her environment and air. Something's triggered in her, some fear about debris and germs. She covers the windows with sheets. There's disinfectant everywhere.
While no study has managed to definitively prove a link between 9/11 and cancer, satellite images show the dust cloud trailing from lower Manhattan, across Brooklyn, and into the Long Island Sound, which provides some idea of the pervasiveness of the asbestos fibers, crushed cement, lead, copper, fiberglass, and other dangerous substances in that dust. At the time of the attack, Donna was staying very close to Ground Zero, so I can see how she would have thought she might have been affected.
And Donna wasn't the only person to make the link between the September 11th attacks and cancer. Studies in the years since 9/11 have confirmed that exposure to chemicals in the dust cloud after the attacks signaled an increase in cancer diagnoses.
However, the dust cloud only remained for a short period of time, and although first responders such as firemen would have been exposed to dangerous levels of the fallout over a number of days and weeks, the general population of Manhattan was not nearly as exposed. Certainly, Donna in her hotel room would have been unlikely to have suffered the high levels of dust fallout that would have presented a viable threat to her health. I believe there is no definitive confirmation of the exact cause of Donna's lung cancer, but it is likely that a number of factors played into her sudden cancer diagnosis and rapid decline, culminating in her death at age 63. The first and foremost of these is smoking. Even though Donna had given up smoking 35 years earlier, it would still have increased her chances of contracting lung cancer. Plus, Donna played for many years in lots of smoky clubs, so secondhand smoke also more than likely played its part. The other thing to consider is genetics, which can often play a role in cancer diagnoses. I can see from reports that Donna had a history of cancer in her family. Her younger sister had died of lung cancer, and her mom of pancreatic cancer. So it could be likely that Donna had a genetic predisposition to cancer. Donna Summer was a little girl with scars who wanted to hide away from the world. But her big voice made her shine and thrust her onto the world stage. So it's no surprise that her illness was the catalyst for her retreat back into the privacy and peace of her family and the mystery that shrouded her final months.
Those times, us in the studio laughing, those memories are just the memories that I just hold dear to me. Having Donna as an aunt was great. I mean, she was funny, she was kind, she was just very good to us.
She was a pioneer, and she tried to do whatever she could do to stay current and to be true to who she was. Just a real genius. Lucky to be in the room with her.
Donna's musical legacy is clear. I Feel Love changed everything. Would Cher have had Believe without I Feel Love? I don't think so. She really ushered in a new era of sound, and that sound is still being used today.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Autopsy. Don't forget to subscribe at podcastone.com with the Podcast One app or at Apple Podcasts. Then go to Reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, for clips, extras, and more from the TV version of the series, including reenactments and autopsy photos you'll only see on Reels channel. Find Reels on your TV at Reels.com. I'm Dr. Michael Hunter.